Like so many of you, we battle depression during life's many ups and downs.
Music has always been there to help us through the tough times that we all face.
Follow us on our journey as we discuss the healing power of music.
Interview artists and bands.
Break down genres and music news.
Review artist biographies.
And much, much more.
You're listening to the When Words Fail Music Speaks podcast. Hey, everybody. This is James Andrew Cox with When Words Fail Music Speaks, the podcast where we talk about how music helps with depression. And I got another interview today. It's so great. It's so great. This band has become a good band and one of my favorites right now. The band is called Lansdowne. And we're here with Sean Lichtenstein and John Ritchie. So Lansdowne's music has been featured everywhere from NFL to MLB, broadcasts to MTV, and even iRobot campaigns, building connections with audiences that stretch far beyond traditional rock listeners. John and Sean, how are you doing?
Hey, man. Good to be here.
Good. So was that all correct, or did I leave something out? Because sometimes, you know, the internet doesn't feed me quality and you know.
No, solid excerpt, man. All right. Yeah, we've done some licensing with NFL, MLB, and we did some great work with iRobot back in the day. So, yeah. Yeah. That's us.
All right. Yeah. So I am very unfamiliar with iRobot. So can you tell me and all the other listeners what that is? Because all I've heard is the movie called iRobot, you know?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. They're a robotics company based out of Massachusetts here that we got linked up with. You might know them from their home commercial product, the Roomba, the vacuum that goes around and vacuums your house for you. That's them. They created that, but they also do a lot of work with creating bomb disarming robots. And that's the work that we did with them. Where their robots have helped save, you know, countless lives of troops for sending the robot in versus sending a human in to disarm different explosives and things like this. Right. You know, I think they're also used in I'm not sure. I know that there's a military use, but I think also for, you know, defusing bombs here at home and elsewhere. They were able to create these, you know, these great robots that, you know, helped save human lives by putting, you know, letting you control a robot instead.
Yeah. Well, I've had iRobot vacuum cleaner and you just mentioned that, and I totally forgot about that iRobot, and that's, you know, that makes sense. But I didn't know anything about the armed forces making robots and sending them, you know. That was back.
They sponsored our song "By Your Side," which was a great thing that we did. We went down to Camp Lejeune for a concert series that week. We played at Camp Lejeune, and we went and like learned more about robots. Did a lot of great content with them. Yeah. Very great company. Very thankful to have worked with them.
Yeah. Yeah, that was way before my dad's time, because my dad is a retired colonel, 30 years now. And I don't think he had a bit of, you know, a bit of robot. Well, maybe, I don't know, because he won't tell me what he does in the military, you know. He always says, I'll have to kill you, you know, in order to tell you. Please don't kill me. Please keep that to yourself, you know. So, all right. So we're here by joined by John Ritchie, like I said before, and he just came on a few minutes ago, and I had no idea that he was coming on, but this is so great too, because he is a singer. He's a singer. But before he came on, I searched the internet, and it says that Sean Lichtenstein, you are the current members of the band, and Glenn Mungo. Is that correct so far?
And Ritchie,
yeah, okay.
Yep, and we also have Josh Bardeman with us as well.
Okay, Josh Bardeman. So what? Glenn plays the drums.
The drums. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. And I guess, Okay. Cool. Okay. So first of all, I gotta give a big shout out to your studio. I was looking on your Instagram, and you're a co-founder of the Red 13 Studios, and I saw a arcade game in there that I really, really like. You know, it's Mortal Kombat, you know?
Yes.
How awesome is that? So,
No, that was fun. That was a fun time. We actually moved out of that location, but while it was there, that was a staple of the studio was a lot of Mortal Kombat competitions.
Yeah. Yeah. John, did you play Mortal Kombat when it came out?
Yeah, dude, I loved being Sub-Zero, and then I liked being Baraka when that came subsequent ones. I love Mortal Kombat was fun.
Right. Scorpion was my favorite one, you know, of all time.
Yeah.
I think it's in between Scorpion or Sub-Zero that everybody didn't clamp up for, you know.
Yep, that makes sense.
So I found out that you performed in front of U.S. troops in Afghanistan. Could you dive into what that experience was like?
Yeah, for sure. Very special experience for us. You know, we were asked over, I think it was the 2007 holidays, John.
Yep.
It was, you know, 2007, and we told our families, like, yeah, we're going to be heading over to Afghanistan during wartime to play for the troops. So, you know, that went over probably as you expected, but we did it. It was a very special trip for us to be able to go give back to the people who fight for our freedom and make sure that we have the freedom to do what we love. We went and played five bases in Afghanistan. We also played Manas Air Force Base, and two bases in Kuwait. And yeah, it was an incredible experience to go and be able to give back to the you know, our armed forces.
Yeah. John, what are your thoughts about that trip?
Pretty humbling, man. I mean, I think it's wild that, you know, we're sitting here doing a podcast, these guys are over there defending our freedom, and it was such a great honor. Very vulnerable moments, because a lot of these guys spoke about different mental health stuff that they were dealing with, and I think that's really sensitive with the military, because you want to, you know, you don't want to be strong and have this united front, but these are people and they all have lives and they're all contending with their own things, and it was just it was an honor.
Yeah, well, I think that I want to be very careful. Okay, so I think that the people in the United States mostly are taking for granted some of the liberties that we have, as opposed to liberties that we are not, you know, don't have. We forget that that people are fighting for us and not knowing that they're out there. You know, we always forget that, you know, and I just want to thank y'all both for going to Afghanistan and singing, give some music to them, because every time I listen to music, I'm not sure about y'all, but I think it's true for y'all too. Anytime that y'all listen to music, whatever it is, you feel more happy, more joyful, more memories, good memories come. Maybe bad memories come, but we hope not, you know? So, yeah, so I just wanted to thank y'all for doing that for the U.S. trip over there, for sure.
Yeah, it was an honor to do it, for sure.
Yeah, cool. All right. So, 16 years in the business, Sean, and I'm not sure. John, it's confusing for me right now, but that's okay. Huh. Sean, you've been in the business for 16 years, I read, right?
I mean, I've been playing music since I was, you know, 10 years old, you know, with guitar lessons and stuff, starting, but, you know, John and I have been together with this band for, you know, we're coming in close to 20 years now, that we've been, you know, brothers in music, and then, you know, that musical bond as a band makes you, I think it's even like a greater bond than family, because I can't imagine some people in my family getting into being locked in a van together for months at a time. I think they'd kill each other worse than we would.
Right.
But Yeah, no, that's where we've been, rocking together for since 2006. John and I put this thing together, but both of us have musical backgrounds for longer than that.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with Sean that it sometimes does feel closer than family because, you sign up for this thing and you are married to each other, and there are a lot of growth moments in there. Think about our fully unformed brains in our 20s, and learning to be adults together. Then each of us, starting families at different times, we all kind of went through all of those growth moments collectively, even though we were doing it separately at times. And a lot of different mindsets, a lot of different motivations, and but we're all still very much best friends and very close. And it's a testament to working hard towards something together.
Nice. So this is a question for both y'all. Do you since okay, so let's go back 20 years ago till now, okay? How do you think music has changed from then till now? Because now it's a lot of streaming, a lot of much more greedy people. Now it's easier to submit your songs over the internet and where long time ago you had to actually go out and promote it, do you think that it's that you would like to go back then and still promote it like physically, or is this time the most easiest for y'all?
Johnny, you can take that.
I think with the beauty in technology, it's easier than ever to be a musician and get your music out there and get it heard. Like you said, before, it took a lot of guerrilla efforts and a lot of grassroots marketing, a lot more elbow grease for sure, in person than it does now. It's still a lot of hard work now, but the tools are there and available to you, where it was a little bit less accessible when we were first coming up as a band, even though the internet was around and different opportunities were there. But definitely was harder to break than I think than it is now. But of course, with that comes with the gateway open comes a lot more competition and a lot more noise that you have to kind of rise above. So it's both easier than ever, but with that it being easier, there's a lot of other I'm not going to say anybody's music is untalented or not, but there's with less barrier to entry comes a lot more quantity over quality, and for the quality to rise above the noise, it's a little harder in the digital age because the barrier is of entry is so low. Which one do I prefer? I think today is it's feels more powerful to be able to be an artist today with all those tools at your fingertips if you're willing to work them and work hard. Back then, your hard work didn't always necessarily equate to the goal you were reaching for. It was a lot harder still back then, I think, to reach the right people. And you still kind of were in a transition point of needing to have a label or needing to have some kind of connection to the wider industry, where it's much easier to make those connections these days and much easier to get your project to a place of a career path without any of those gatekeepers that you used to need. So I think I prefer today's climate, even though it is ever evolving and changing right now. But it's at least one that has leveled the playing field, I think.
John, do you have anything to add to that?
No, I mean, Sean's a little bit more of an authority on this stuff than I am.
Okay.
I think that, I mean, one short thought, I think access to more tools is making it easier to create music. I don't know that quantity of music makes for quality as well, but I think it's wonderful that more and more people who might not have otherwise had the opportunity to create are now becoming creators. And I think that ultimately, down the line, we're going to get more good stuff because of it.
Right.
Yeah, I
I
agree.
agree.
With more opportunity, just makes you have to work harder at your craft to stand out and be great. So I think it's never a bad thing to have to create better music and continue to challenge yourself to get that out there.
Right. Yeah, cool. Yeah, I think that it's a double-edged sword because on one end you're promoting the way you want to back then, but now it's more easier, and it was a lot harder back then. I think for anybody, you know. Now it's just one click of a button and there you have it, you know.
Yeah.
But you are right. I mean, you still have to work for what you're trying to, get accomplished. I mean, it's not that easy. I mean, just because you click a button doesn't mean you're done, you know? So you're right. Yeah.
I mean, of all, I think of any industry, the music industry is probably the one that will challenge you
Yes.
the
Yeah, right.
most.
Yeah.
I think it's the most unforgiving industry, and so that means the people that stick through it and stick around, you have the passion for it because that's the main driver of making it through the other side. Because there's, a lot of swimming through the mud before you get to the other side, and you have to have a passion and a love for it. And I think that's one of the special things about the industry is, because it's so unforgiving, the people that are doing it are all so passionate about what they do to have, any modicum of success in it.
Right. I agree. Yeah. Okay, so let's okay, so I see that you have two full albums out, 2011 Blue Collar Revolver, which is great. I love a lot of the songs on that, And then you have a new you have Medicine, which came out in 2023. And then you have a whole lot of a lot of singles, right? A lot of bands are doing the singles until they collect enough of them and then release a full album. Are y'all in the same area as them, or do you just want to do like albums? And I mean, like how do you know when the album is ready to go, and how do you know when a single is just going to be like one single?
That's a great question because it brings us to a exciting thing that we do have a record coming out
Oh, nice.
next year. We have been the singles that we've been putting out will be featured on the record, but we just had an amazing trip together to Punta Cana in the Dominican Republic to kind of get away from everyday life and kind of be locked in a place, and be able to just be in a space to create. And we wrote a lot of great songs that we've been getting feedback from our label and our close confidants, if you will. And we are John and I are actually going to be getting back in the studio tomorrow night to
Nice.
wrap up vocals on another song that'll be coming out soon. And so we're excited to be get a lot of new music out between now and spring, and have the record release early next spring. So we have been doing something similar, for to get back to your question, where we've been, kind of releasing the singles that are now going to be wrapped up into a record with a whole bunch of other songs. So it's not just going to be the ones that you've already heard. There's
Right.
a whole pack of other songs coming that's gonna round it out.
Now, John, correct me if I'm wrong, but as a singer, you do write most of the songs too, right?
Yeah, so Sean and I write the songs together,
Okay.
and I write most of the lyrics. So I'd say
Okay.
pretty much all, almost all. Sean writes almost all the music.
Okay, so it's like a collaborative. Okay, yeah. Okay. Cause one song that really stood out, and I can't help but playing over and over again. Okay, It's from your album Blue Collar Revolver. Like I said before, it came out in 2011, which is great. Holding On.
Yeah.
That's just beautiful, beautiful song, and I just want to know, like, what was this, like, a personal experience, or did this come out with, like, just a major thought process between you and Sean?
Yeah, almost all the songs are written on my personal life.
Okay.
So they're coming from a real place. And fortunately or unfortunately, there's been a lot of drama in it.
Oh no.
So there's all those songs are true songs. So that song came from a place of coming home from tour. I was dating somebody and realizing she had been seeing somebody else. So it was kind of the battle between how do I stay? How do I leave? And going back and forth on that piece.
Well, that's just a beautiful song, and I think that it speaks a lot. Well, it spoke a lot to me, but it's a song where I can't put into words how it makes me feel, and some
Oh,
songs do that, and
thank you.
for sure. But
Yeah.
you have a new single called Four-Wheeled Freedom, and that
Well,
is
real freedom, yeah.
kick ass song, brother. I can't thank you enough for making that too, because to me, that's like going down the highway, top down, in the wind and air just blowing out, just going dirt biking or dirt, whatever, very gas thing. So
Yeah, I mean, I think it reminds us a lot of our summers. They started in a van, they're mostly in a bus now. But there's always stories that we're coming home with. And I think that, especially during summer touring, you see a lot of people come together for the shows and the festivals and their shared experiences, right? So you could definitely listen to that song by yourself, just driving down the highway, playing drums on the steering wheel. But I think it's best served with, your best friends going somewhere. You may not even know where you're going. You're just taking a drive
Yeah,
or
just
you're going to the beach or something. But
just
yeah,
running
it's
around having a good time with life, because that's what it's about, because I don't understand why people take it so seriously. You just gotta enjoy life and just relax. Everything will be okay, I don't understand.
I think music can help you do that, right? It can pull you out of a funk if you're in a funk, but also it can really galvanize a moment to make it a memory. So that sound kind of harkens back to what we were doing with Blue Collar. We're being intentional about writing more music that feels like our roots. It was super fun to write.
Right. Awesome. Well, this is another question for you, John. Can you share a defining moment in your life that changed the way you approach music or performance?
Oh, that's a great question. Let me split them out. So, approaching music and approaching performance, probably two different answers.
Okay.
Approaching music, I think over time I have tried to simplify lyrics. I think early on, they were more verbose, and I think these days we're trying to make it more accessible. So, still the same depth and intensity of message, but how do we make those messages more concise so that a broader audience can find meaning in them. Because I think that music is best served when you have people from all walks of life taking their own meaning from the song, but they are finding meaning in it. So I think the evolution of the songwriting in the band has become more mature, and as a result, just more direct, simple thoughts that you or me would be thinking in our heads, as opposed to crafting some kind of elegant story. As far as performance, we've had a great deal of mentorship over the years through the tours we've been on and the festivals we played. And I think that the number one thing that we've learned is just go out there, have fun. Don't worry about anything else. You're out there, it's such a blessing. You don't know, could be your last show. Every show could be your last show. So get out there and really lean into the experience. These folks have come, paid good money, spent great time getting there and spending time being there in that crowd, and you owe them just the most authentic experience that you can offer.
John, do you have any with that question.
No, I mean, I think, John nailed it. And I think, no, I think John's answer
Oh,
was great.
yeah, Don answered it perfectly. All right. All right. So this is a question for you, Sean. Okay. So as a songwriter also, you have co-written a lot of songs with some bands, Pop Evil is one of them. And I know you've co-written Beautiful, the song Beautiful with them. So with your process working with a band such as that and crafting a song that resonates so deeply with the listeners.
So it's I mean, that experience was cool how it came about. We were touring with Pop Evil at the time. I had, struck up a great friendship with their guitar player Davey. And he actually heard me, kind of playing a riff at soundcheck, which became the riff to Beautiful that I'd been touring around with. And he goes, "Yo, what is that?" And he's like, "Yo, we should do some writing together." And that turned into, when I went across three albums that, every time they were doing some writing, I either Davey would come to Boston, or I'd go out to Michigan, and I'd get the opportunity to work with him and to work with Pop Evil. And I'll always be super thankful to Davey for kind of welcoming me into that, because that's a it's a really big thing to kind of bring someone into your kind of songwriting space. So I'll always be super appreciative to all the bands that kind of let me into that space with them. I think at all times when we're, creating music that we want to resonate, we want to make sure it resonates with us first. First and foremost, we want to write stuff that is, meaningful to us, or something that gives us an emotion, whether that emotion is banging our heads or hitting us in the feels with a certain note pattern, or something, making sure that there's an emotion there, I think that that's what helps to extend it to a listener, because you're never going to write a perfect song that's going to resonate across 8 billion people in the world. So all you can, hope for is to make something that resonates with you, and know that there's people out there that feel, have similar tastes and similar feelings to you, that's going to resonate with them. So I think approaching it from that perspective, you should. I don't think writing with the approach of how can I write a song to make this group of people like it is ever going to be a process that organically works, because you can't know how other people are going to feel or know what other people are going to like. There's been times where we get super excited about a song and think that it's going to be that one's going to be the one, and everybody's like, "Yeah, no, that one's cool, but what about this one?" Which is like at the bottom of our list, and we're like, "Well, it is what it is. We love, as long as we are making music that we love, that resonates with us, and we are happy to let whatever resonates with others kind of go from there,
Yeah, so what's beautiful about music and the whole world is because you can make a song for you and it speaks to 100 million people that you don't even know, See, that's the power of music right there.
And I love that it can speak to them in different ways than it speaks to you,
And music is not, there's no language barrier, I mean, which is beautiful in itself too, So, the question for both of y'all now, how do y'all balance the business side of being in a band, Lansdown, with staying creative and true to your artistry?
It's difficult for sure,
Right. Yeah.
because there's a lot of stuff to do, like we're all adults at this point, and we have, families and other things that we do outside of the band. And of course, our main passion is, writing together, creating together, and performing live together. But to get to those places where we can create together and we can go out and tour, it's, logistics of touring, and what are we going to be riding in, and who's going to play with us, and how many tickets are selling. We need to get these ads out to get these, so that I think that part of it is it's necessary, and you need to do it. Something I tell upcoming bands all the time is that, this isn't your band. This is your startup business. You know what I mean? This is your small business that hopefully grows into a big business. But the business side is part of the creative. And it almost, feels like the creative right now is the reward for doing the business side. But it is hard to balance, because, it takes all of those wheels running, at once, to make the dream work. And
Exactly.
we're lucky to have a great team with us in Odyssey Music Network. I know you spoke with our product manager there,
Yes,
Teresa, to set
I
this
did. She's
up.
great. Yeah.
That's that's the other piece of it. The only way you can do all this stuff is if you find people that you trust to help share the load, so that you can so that we can do the things that we love to do, which is create together and perform together.
John, do you feel the same way?
Yeah, I think you said it well. I think
Okay.
the collaborative experience really is where the magic comes from.
Yeah. So what's something that fans would be surprised to learn about life on tour with Lance Down?
I think fans would be surprised to learn that touring in general, no matter which band you are, is boring.
I've heard that. I've heard that many times. Yeah.
So we really pressed it early days. I'd say the first 10 years we're continuously partying, absolutely reckless and out of control. And it was fun,
Yeah.
but it's not sustainable. So once you
Right.
take all of those kind of dopamine driving dynamics and catalysts out of the picture, it's a lot of travel and a lot of sitting and waiting for an hour of pure bliss. And then it's
Right.
back
It's
to
over. Right.
anything
Yeah.
else.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I mean, I think that's why you really got to like the guys in your band. Imagine touring with people that you really don't enjoy being around. I think that's why we've been able to do it for a long time. And granted, there were times where we hated each other. We worked through it, but granted, there was a lot of booze involved at that time.
The number one problem, right?
Yeah, just
Yeah.
escalate. Because honestly, though, that's part of it. Like, you get so bored that you try to insert the fun and then you try and turn it up and top yourselves every night. And it kind of gets to the point where it diminishes the reality of what you're trying to do. We're older now, we all have families, and so sometimes boring is good. But I think fans do have this perception that it is very glamorous, and it could not be further from the truth.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, backstage sometimes is just a fold-out table with some pretzels and snacks on it that, everyone's like, "Oh, I want to go backstage and meet the band." It's like I spend a lot of time out in the crowd watching the other bands because backstage is so boring.
Yeah. Because Tom Morello from Slayer said that a lot of people asked him, he goes to like Budapest, Norway, and all these great countries, and he always gets asked what was it like, and he's like, "You see these four walls? This is it. This is my life." So.
Yeah, it's true. It's sometimes like, we've gotten the opportunity to be like a lot of great places in the last few years with our European and UK touring, but like you that he hit the nail on the head with, sometimes all we get to see of that country is we show up, we load
Four
up,
walls,
we sound check, we maybe have the opportunity to go out and grab, some local cuisine or whatever, and but then we're back for showtime, or we have a press interview, or we have something that there's we get there, we show up, we play, we get in the bus, and we leave, and we don't really get to experience. We're
right.
not on like a sightseeing adventure. We're there to do a job at the end of the day, which is get out there and play for everybody, which is amazing. Like John said, it's that hour is the rush. That's why we do it, and to take these songs, and play them live is that's like the fruition of the recording experience. We get to go perform the songs on record and get the song done that we can listen to, but there's nothing quite like playing it live.
Right. Yeah. It's all for the music, brother, you know? So John, this is gonna be a fun one for you, and I think you really enjoy this. Okay, so let's think outside the box, okay? So let's think about if you could swap any voice with any singer for just one Lansdowne show, who would it be? And how do you think your crowd would react hearing their style in your songs?
Let me see if I have this right. You're asking if we did another band song, or what was the question?
He's asking if you could trade places with another singer for the night,
The
and that singer
voice.
would sing our
The
singer.
voice?
Yeah.
Oh, Freddie Mercury.
Boom, there you go. Yeah.
I love Queen, and I just think that he was an institution upon himself. And just what a wild and entertaining performer. He is him and Queen. That's, the band that I would see if I could go back in time and see any band that I hadn't seen. And I think just to be in his mindset with that type of voice would be a wild ride.
Yeah, nice. Because at Queen is, I mean, just Freddie alone, but it's like tremendous. Because I don't think he ever hit the wrong note. I think everything that was perfect every time he sung, you know. Well.
Yeah, and just for sure, he had great pitch, but also like the character in his voice and the range. I mean, it's pretty hard to hit every note and have that much character at all times. I think that's pretty incredible. So yeah, Freddie Mercury.
Nice. Sean, let's go back to you now. So what's one piece of advice or technique that you can completely change on how you approach producing or mixing? Because you are a producer and a mixer and a guitarist, singer, songwriter. How do you sleep first? Do you ever get to go to sleep at all?
Yes.
Okay,
Usually,
good. I,
usually
yeah.
with a usually with a toddler kicking me in the face all night.
There you go. Yeah.
One piece of advice that I would give to up and coming producers, or one thing, could
One
you
piece
ask
of
the question?
advice or technique from you that completely changed how you approach producing or mixing. Do you have like an easier, I mean, like
Oh,
how's it?
gotcha.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was one thing in particular, but I think one of the special things that has shaped me and shaped us as songwriters was being able to work with, incredible producers and engineers over our career, and being able to stand over their shoulders and watch what they do and learn from them. I don't think we could be at the point of us self-producing our music right now without going through that experience. Like, even if you, as a band, if you can and have that ability to produce yourself, I think if you don't go and work with top-tier talent and learn from them, you're doing yourself a disservice on being able to absorb that information and approach things in the way of a mind that's proven to have sold, millions of records. For us, it was, watching David Bendith, mix us on the big SSL, in the SSL computer, like totally old school. Working with Johnny Kay, Paul Trust, Zach Odom, and Kenneth Mount. Just all, masters at their game in their own way, and that's. That was the biggest thing for me, was being able to observe and learn their process. And you start to see the patterns in the process of people at that level, and how they're all kind of approaching things, and from different angles, but a lot of times in the same way. And I think that's shaped how our songwriting works now, in terms of what they would do to help us finalize our songs when we brought them in. Crafting our songs in that way, and the overall sonic quality that we go after, understanding what that final product is supposed to sound like.
Yeah, nice. So I did a little di deep diving, digging, and I found, correct me if I'm wrong, But y'all played the very last show at the Club Axis in Boston before it was shut down. And y'all stayed after and just partied and drank while everything was good out essentially, right?
I don't know. The last part might have been a extrapolation on our part, but
Okay. Yeah.
or exaggeration. I don't know if I'm using that word correct, but I'm sure John will tell me. But yeah, we did play the last show at Axis with our brothers in Prospect Hill, another band that who are all my our partners in other business ventures now, but that was our brother band, Prospect Hill, where we closed down Axis. And then John, the next day, the last ever show at Avalon was Dropkick Murphys. That maybe
Nice.
that was
Oh my God.
Yeah. I've seen
I hit the
Dropkick.
face.
Yeah.
I got a little ahead of myself, and like went on stage for one of the songs and I hit with a guitar.
Oh, yeah. Well, I
Yeah.
mean, yeah, hell yeah. Okay, yeah, because I saw Dropkick Murphys a couple times. I mean, they always put on a great show, great show.
Yeah. And then that was the end of Axis and Avalon. Now there's Lansdowne Pub and House of Blues in their place.
Yeah. But there was no drinking afterwards and the
Oh yeah,
flames, no.
we drank
Oh, okay.
afterwards, but
Well,
I don't think they
yeah.
were quite demolishing the building yet while we
Oh,
were.
okay. Well, that's why I wanted to get a fact or fiction on that one, Oh, it's all awesome. Awesome.
That would be funny if there was just people like pulling out the bar and
Yeah,
everything,
you're
and
just sitting there drinking and
and
talking and
we're
having
just
a
like,
good
yeah,
time.
whatever.
Okay, so we do have three more questions for both of you, and I do thank y'all for coming on. It's been a great time talking to y'all. Okay, so let's start with this one. We're going to do a Mount Rushmore of your top four favorite bands. You have four of them. If you want to, we can do five, okay? But we're trying to stick with four, okay?
Okay,
So
wow.
which one, John or Sean, wants to go first? Because I know this is a very hard question.
We're gonna have completely different Mount Rushmores, so we're gonna
Okay,
do
there
them
you go.
separately.
That's
Sean,
perfect. Yeah.
you go ahead.
I guess I'll the way I do it, I guess, is to choose someone from each like era of listening.
Perfect.
I think when I was a kid, and definitely one of the coolest experiences from playing Grass Pop this last summer or a couple summers ago would be Limp Bizkit would be up there as one of them for me. And we had just played Grass Pop with Limp Bizkit headlining
Nice.
in Belgium, and it was kind of surreal that Fred Durst just walks up behind me in the catering line, and I'm like, oh, that's
Hey, Fred, what's
Fred
going on, buddy?
Durst.
Right.
Yeah,
Yeah.
so I think they were definitely like a defining band for me growing up. John Mayer, I think, has to be in there as a guitar player and a songwriter for me. Definitely broke the repeat button on a lot of those albums. Don't listen to him much these days, but at one point in my life, definitely was listening to a ton of John Mayer. Just respecting as an incredible songwriter, and what's come out over the years that people didn't know when he was just pop guy was
Yeah.
phenomenal guitar player.
Oh yeah, big time.
And then we're getting harder here.
Yeah.
Paramore, I think, has to be in there. Again, another band that I don't listen to a lot of the newer stuff.
I
But
don't
man,
either.
that were they
Yeah.
were they one of my favorite bands at one point. John and I actually saw them at one of the la but right before we played our last show there. I think not too long before we saw them at Axis.
Yeah.
And I've seen them probably at every stage of their career. Playing in front of 300 people to playing in front of
Elephants, yeah.
3,000 people to whatever. Right now, probably the artist that I'm listening to the most is an artist called Bill Murray.
I've heard of that band. Yeah.
I think he's awesome, and I think what they're doing gives me kind of the feeling that that I had with Paramore back with All We Know Is Falling, with this record that they just put out, American Motorsports. It's like I have that same kind of connection to them as I feel like I did to early Paramore. So they're definitely a band, and you know what, their growth in the last year even is insane. So
Yeah.
I definitely think they're going to be a band we hear a lot more of, coming up here in the future.
That was four, correct? Yes.
That
Okay.
was four.
All right,
Yeah.
cool. All right.
I can give you my Rushmore right now. I think this changes in whatever era I'm in, but I my kind of metric for deciding what I choose is there a complete record front to back that I can listen to and love the whole thing as a concept and individually. And so I don't think this person will ever come off, and Sean knows what I'm going to say, but it's Ray LaMontagne. His record Trouble is definitively the most important musical creation of for me. So I love Ray LaMontagne. I think Lord Huron is up there, Novo Amor. And then this guy named Martin Sexton, he put out a record in 1996, I believe, called Black Sheep. And so these are just records that I really identify with and feel strongly about. And I think for me, it's just, can I find a complete record that I love?
Yeah, which is very rare, because there's so many limited records that are played back, beginning to end without any skips. You know, it's very rare that it happens. But it, you know, for me, I got like four of them, and all this other, and all these like trillions of music. You know, four records that I can play. You know, beginning to end and perfect every time I play them. You know.
I think it's worth mentioning both for Sean and I, neither of our top fours have anything to do with the music that we play. This is all starkly different. So it's sometimes it's important to know that like your favorite artists probably don't listen to the type of music that they play, or if they do, it's not their favorite. I remember, yeah, there's a bunch of artists that we've talked to, and they're mostly like country fans or folk fans or blues fans, and I think it's just a strong appreciation of music that kind of puts us all in the scene that we're in. But yeah, Sean and I generally listen to different stuff than we play.
So speaking of that, John, what's your favorite genre of all time?
I like so alternative has become different now than it was when I was growing up. So I would say folk. I would say most of the stuff that I listen to has a lot of folk and ambient elements in it. I like really kind of peaceful music that's deep and you know devastating, but not filled with heaviness and angriness.
Sean, what's your favorite genre of all time, you think?
I feel like I'll always be a pop punk kid at heart.
There you
All
go. You will. Yeah,
right.
you will.
Pop punk's great, you know.
And it's especially cool now to see it kind of making a resurgence, if you
Come back,
will.
yeah, big time
A
come back.
lot of the new and it's funny, for you know, I think the person we can thank for that is ironically MGK, who was a rapper. But you know, the fact that he was working with Travis Barker, it almost felt like the you know, more of like a resurgence than Blink-182 than Blink-182 getting back together did. And I think that ushered in the back to genre, and it's been awesome to see like a lot of great bands come out from that. So, and just the resurgence of rock in general right now. You know, I think that the Deftones just did like a record-breaking tour for them, specifically. You know what I mean? They're like, it's incredible that some of the rock bands that are kind of resurging and coming back are playing bigger shows than ever. So it's, you know, and it's a lot of kids, a lot of young kids, teenagers out that, you know. So I think, you know, another power of the internet is them kind of discovering those bands that you know, discovering songs that are 20 years old, and falling in love with those bands and coming out in droves to kind of bring rock back. So I think we're in a really exciting time of rock resurging right now, which is awesome.
All right, so I have two more questions, and this is kind of the hardest ones that I'm going to ask y'all today. So keep that in mind. Okay, so this podcast is surrounding music and mental health. Do y'all have any advice for people who are struggling with mental health to carry them on forward? Because being in demand, like y'all said, y'all had some hard times, good times, you know. So do you have any advice or something you can say to them that'll bring them, it'll be okay for them, you know? You know what I'm trying to say? Okay, good. Okay.
Two
Okay.
different suggestions. One,
Okay.
lean into the music for sure. I mean, I think that it's cathartic at the least and maybe life-saving at its best. We've received, I don't want to say countless, but lots and lots of letters and notes and just general telling of experiences about how our music has move people towards more positive mindsets and prevented some really destructive behavior. Just, I mean, even Sean, the show we just played in Hampton, this dude came up to us and told us he was suicidal, he was homeless, and our music really got him through all those times. Now he's got a job, he's got a place to live, he's feeling so much better, and we were a core part of that experience. And it's just like, you know, that is really all you need to hear as an artist, that even one person kind of changed the trajectory of their lives in a better way. But I would say the other way is to write and not be concerned about the quality of the writing, but to simply dump your thoughts out on a page, journal, write shitty songs. Doesn't really matter what it is. Just like get these thoughts out of your head onto something tactile so that you can, maybe stop ruminating a little bit, or at least if you're going to ruminate, start working through the process of getting those thoughts out and looking at them as a whole kind of piece, as opposed to just these little snippets of negativity or doubt or hopelessness throughout the day. Because I think that when we don't communicate or externally process, whether it's verbally or in a written form or painting or whatever, something creative, we are our only audience. And frankly, we cannot be our only audience and expect ourselves to save ourselves. We need communication. We are a social species. So don't ever think that you have to be alone. Even if you are alone, you simply could get those words out and start processing them.
Thank you. That was great, Sean.
Yeah, no, I think just to echo, John's sentiment, and the funny thing is, John, I actually saw that the person you're speaking of. I talked with him over at the GOAT because he had just come from the Creed show, and I was doing an idol judging for singers in New Hampshire. And he didn't realize that I would be there, and we took a photo, and he told me about that chat he had with you. So, to echo John's sentiment, like, just, we'll never take for granted the power that music has, and it will always feel incredibly special to know that, something that we've created has helped to move someone in that strong of a way. And we'll never take that feeling for granted, because it's really such a special thing for us. And then, to continue to echo his other sentiment, it's, getting those feelings out in some way. It doesn't necessarily have to mean that you have to speak to someone, but even John's suggestion of getting them out on a page or just speaking them aloud, I think it has such a releasing quality of just getting it out of your head, physically, you know what I mean? Whether that's writing it down, saying it out loud, speaking to somebody, the actual release of that, I think, is something powerful that can be taken for granted, that can be, you don't think that something that simple might have a little bit of release for you. And I think it can have a powerful effect to just get it out, versus like John said, keeping it all inside.
Right. Well, that's great, y'all. So thank y'all very much for that. One last question, and then we'll let you go. So this like I said before, this podcast is called When the Morning Show Music Speaks, right? And that can't be anything further from the truth, okay? So is there an album, song, or artist that you can listen to right now, but you can't tell anybody how that song makes you feel deep inside your soul? Like the song Holding On, I can listen to it forever, but I can't tell you how much it means to me. It's hard for me to express. Do y'all have any of those songs out there in the music universe that you can't
Wow.
explain?
I think any song off the Damien Rice O album.
Yeah. Nice.
I think any one of those would fall in that category for me.
Okay. Perfect. Perfect.
I'm trying to think of it because my disposition is that I tend to fall back into words. So I'm not sure that I have found myself in a place where I'm not able to like communicate it, but I would say that I don't know how popular these guys are, but if you listen to any of the Novo Amor records, they are more experiences than they are entertainment. Like Sean, I think you would feel this way about Sigur Rós. It's just you are immersed in this devastation that is also so beautiful. So I think it's like this existential experience. It's ethereal, and it is almost at all times a little bit surreal because you cannot quite balance reality with the level of emotion that this guy puts into his music.
Yeah, that's perfectly said, and that's exactly what I wanted to hear. Because there's a lot of music out there that you really can't under express how it makes you feel, and y'all just perfectly summed it up. So thank you for that.
Yeah, well, it's been a pleasure.
Let's give y'all a couple of shout outs before we let you go. The band is called Lands Down, DOWNE Down. They're all go to landsdownmusic.com. That's their official site. And they're on Facebook and Instagram. Are we on TikTok yet, or we're still trying to figure that out? Like me, I can't figure it
No,
out.
we're on TikTok
Okay.
at Down music as well. LANSDOWNE
Perfect.
music.
Yeah. And everybody, make sure you download For Will Freedom. That's a great song. That's the greatest song I've ever heard so far. And I've heard a lot of songs, And
Oh, thanks, man.
make sure you check out Blue Collar Revolver and Medicine. And they're both all awesome. And I just want to give you a big, big thank you for coming on the show. This has been great for me. I don't know if y'all.
Oh no, it's super fun, dude. Thank you so
Yeah.
much for having us.
Sure.
Yeah, no, James, you had great questions, man.
Well, thank you.
So applaud you as an interviewer. You
I.
definitely came at us from a lot of different angles than we normally get in interviews. So I think this is a great show, and I'm thankful for you bringing on all kinds of artists to kind of help with mental health awareness and everything
Yeah.
like that. So I think it's a
Yeah.
great podcast, and thank you for having us.
Thank you. Yeah, I just want everybody to feel the way we don't feel when I'm depressed, because I'm cl 'cause I have clinically depression, So I understand what people go through when I have that. Your music just sends me right out of that depression and, oh yeah, brother, it's so great.
Thank you.
So thank you very much for coming on, y'all. And with that said, everybody, thank you for listening. And always remember, when you're bored, tell music speaks. Bye, guys.